Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from prideofdetroit.com, also a master apiarist.
I got stung. The bees, man. The bees are getting me.
They're all over you. They're ripping your flesh off. Firearms are useless against them.
Yeah, they are. Well, you know what? Fortunately, I am not allergic like my father, so... I'm used to disposing of them on his property and mine. And, yeah, I got a couple, nice size welts in the back of my neck right now. That's awesome.
Well, you're still with us and that's what's most important. And, it's been a long time since since everybody's heard us, but yeah, we got something special today, for those listeners who've read Eric's work for a long time, they'll remember an old set of articles that used to write called The Roster Stack, from in his previous website days. Now he no longer writes that column for his current job, but we're going to resurrect it in podcast form so Eric doesn't have to injure his fingers on top of his neck. So we're going to go through it, and Eric will dive in a bit more, but we're going to tear out the whole roster. You know, as far as the impact guys, all the way down to the guys who got work to do to get on the final 53. Eric, do you want to go into it a little deeper?
Yeah, basically what I've done is I've tried to use this as a tool to assess the talent level on the team and to get an idea of how many players are in position for the long-term focus, I guess, of the organization versus someone who might just be filling like a temporary type role. So we categorize them into 7 different groups. The first group is who are the impact players. These are the players who, if they were not on the roster would have to the offense or defensive scheme would have to like significantly change, right? Like you can't just roll with things as is. These are the guys that are like the top tier players on this team. And then after that, it's the core players. It's who's the foundation? Who are the guys that are going to be with this team for a while that the organization wants to build around? Now, some of these guys might not be starters. And so this is where it gets a little bit different from like a rankings type system. Some of these guys might be reserves, but they're part of maybe the longer term core plan. The third section is the projected starters. Like who are the guys that might not be part of the core team, but because of their contract or whatever, and they are, but they're still important enough this season that they're projected to be a starter, but might not be the long-term starter. After that, it gets to be the role players. These are the guys who are part of the team, who have a specific job, but aren't necessarily starters. And, but they still have something, you know, unique that they do with their skills that has earned that makes them more than likely someone who's going to land on the roster. The fifth section here is, these are the players who are the final depth pieces of the 53-man roster. So we're going to use that section as we go, to basically like say, okay, how many spots have we filled? How many are left? Who are the final kind of guys that we're looking to build around? And then after that, we'll sort the remaining players on the 89-man roster in between guys that are on the fringe who could possibly sneak into the 53 versus guys that seem a lot further off than, they'd have to make a couple of steps before they're able to move. So typically this is something that I would write like ahead of time. And then we would just discuss like where it goes. But because I haven't done one of these in a while, and because we haven't done a podcast in a while, I thought it would be unique for us to do this as a collaborative team and do it together live on the show so that people can see like what is the thought process behind where we put guys. We'll make some easy decisions where guys are very obviously will go into certain categories. And then we'll have other guys that we have to, maybe we'll disagree on and we can debate on what section we think they belong in. So I think the easiest way to do it is I've stacked a Google sheet for us to work off of, and I've ranked them by cap hit for the 2022 season. And so we're going to kind of go through the list in a general order. But like I said, we're going to make some very obvious moves where we can just like cut out, and then we're going to go back and see like, okay, who's the highest paid player that we haven't placed yet? And maybe we will try and figure out where maybe they slot in. So it should be a fun process. Hopefully it's fun to listen to, because it'll give us a chance to talk about some players that, that are in limbo maybe, or maybe don't have, maybe are destined for a specific job, or maybe you think they're in a different direction, and we can have a neat little debate about it.
Yep. All right. So let's get started. We'll start with the tier one, the impact players. These, and the direct definition from the dictionary of Eric here is these are the players who, if removed from the roster, would greatly impact the team's overall performance. I guess the easiest one to start off with is Jared Goff, because if Goff did not, if he goes down, they're in big trouble.
Okay, so here's the thing. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
But. You can argue he's not on this list, but.
Well, but that's the thing is, do you think that they would have to alter the scheme significantly if Goff wasn't there? Because if he's not there and they just go to the next guy, you could argue that he should go into the projected starters category.
Oh, that's a good point, because they wouldn't change anything.
I don't think they would. I think they would maybe scale things back a little bit for Tim Boyle, but I think because he's not, he may or may not be part of the long-term plans. Plus, they might not have to scale something, scale away from the playbook or anything. I would actually put him in the projected starters category for me.
All right. No, I agree. I'm going to agree.
Perfect. All right. So let's
put him into tier three. I'm getting the hang of this game now.
Okay. So like a guy who would be like an impact player for me would be like Taylor Decker, right? If Taylor Decker is out, then you have to shift everybody around, and there's a significant downgrade at the tackle position. Like he is one of the more elite tier players on the team, where you would see a significant drop off. And I think he's part of their long-term plans. So I would put him in impact. Now you could argue maybe he's a core player, but for me, I like him as an impact guy.
Well, I was going to play the argument game, because you get rid of Taylor Decker, you're going to move Penei Sewell over to left tackle, and Sewell would be replaced by Matt Nelson. But would they do things a lot different along the offensive line if they did make those moves? And I would say they probably wouldn't.
See, I think they'd have to adjust for Nelson. And I think that they'd have to like keep a tight end in. They'd have to design a little. I get it, because it's the argument that we just made for Jared Goff. Right.
That's what I was thinking.
I just think the difference between the offensive line when he's in and when he's not is pretty significant. So like Sewell would be in the impact category for me as well. He's part of the long-term plans. If he's out, it's a significant downgrade. You'd probably have to adjust. Like you're not going to be doing pull plays with him anymore. You're not going to be putting him out in space. Matt Nelson isn't going to be able to do some of the things that Penei Sewell can do on the football field. So you're going to lose some things in your playbook. So that's kind of my thinking with those two guys.
Then let's put both of those guys in the impact players right now. Decker and Sewell.
Did I talk you into Decker? I mean, I don't want to talk you into it. That's fine.
Okay. Because, you could also make the point is it's a little bit of a downgrade at this point in his career. We'll see this year. Sewell might be just as good at playing left tackle as Decker if he's developing. But you're right that, removing Sewell from playing right tackle would be a downgrade whoever they put in there. Yeah. And that would, you'd be affected either way of Decker or Sewell being out. All right. So I've been screwing up so far. I'm going to do an easy one. Hunter Jack Fox, would he be an impact player? Because they would have to, he's going to be around for a long term.
Sure.
And if they did lose him, they would have to alter everything they do, because they would have a much lower caliber punter. In game, it would be the kicker, with Seibert or Patterson would replace him. And he's a big part of the teacher. I don't know. Would you say he's more of a core player than an impact player?
I think you could argue either. I think because he's made a Pro Bowl, because he's someone who's going to be long-term, I think you could leave him in there. Typically, In the past, I don't put the specialists as impact players because they only play like a handful of snaps. But that's always been one of the complaints that I've gotten, is that a guy like a Jack Fox should be touted as one of the impact players, because there would be a significant alteration of approach, and it would downgrade. So yeah, I think you could, the argument is there. I'm comfortable putting him up in that impact player spot as well. I'm going to take another guy who I think is the best player on this team. And I'm going to say, I think he should belong in this group, and that's Frank Ragnow. I know Evan Brown is good.
I was gonna say, there's not a big drop off.
It's not as big. I get it. The big thing that separates like Decker, Sewell, Ragnow from Goff for me is that they're all part of the long-term plans.
Yeah, they all have long-term
contracts. And that's what makes them more in the impact category for me, is that if it's a big downgrade. Like, I know it doesn't seem like it, because like I said, Evan Brown did play well, but at the same time, Evan Brown, I think, struggled near the end of the year, and it just kind of went unnoticed because the rest of the line was playing very well with Decker back in the fold on the back half of the season. So I think Ragnow's the best player on his team. I think he is, he exudes what I'm looking for in an impact type of player.
All right, so the previous discussions would lead me to say that we should put Evan Brown and Matt Nelson now into the role player category.
That makes sense. Yeah, because Evan Brown is, he does have a very specific role because he is the backup center. And I think he's clearly the backup center. And so I don't think he's not a risk of like losing his job.
He's going to dress every Sunday.
Yep.
So that I wouldn't put him as a final depth on the 53. Matt Nelson, the same thing. He's going to play every mm-hmm. Sunday. He's going to be dressed every Sunday. And he actually, even more so than Evan Brown, plays a specific role as the sixth offensive lineman.
Yep. So I'm with you. Now, a guy like Vaitai, if we're just sticking with the offensive
line. Because we could probably clean a lot of this up right here.
Now Vaitai, I would consider a projected starter, just because we're not exactly sure what's going to happen with his contract next year.
Right.
I think if he were to get an extension, like if he would get a contract extension, or if they did a restructure or something, like it's possible you could bump him up into like the core players type of category, but he doesn't have that extension. He has a vulnerable contract. So I would put them there. The final starter we haven't talked about is Jonah Jackson.
Pro bowler Jonah Jackson.
Exactly.
Who does not have a contract extension.
Not yet. He's in the final 2 years left, right? Let me double check to make sure. Here we go. Jonah Jackson. Yeah, he's signed for the next 2 years, so they can't even negotiate with him just yet. But I do think he will be part of the long term. But I would slot him into like the core players type of category, because I think he's going to be someone long that's like long term. And even though he's a Pro Bowler, I also think he is you can replace a guard a little bit easier.
Sure.
Right. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that, with Jonah. So that gives us our starting five all right in a row. And we've allocated two reserves into role players. And so we're already at seven offensive linemen. I think if we get to another one, it's going to be debatable. So
yeah, we've got a ways to wait.
So like, for example, if you want to go positionally, we already slotted Goff as a projected starter. We could talk about Tim Boyle and David Blough, and we could say, would they fall into like one of the final guys to make the roster? Because I don't necessarily think they're role players. I mean,
well, Tim Boyle has a role as the backup quarterback. Yeah. I don't know, like David mm-hmm. Blough for sure is final depth on the 53. Because I think they will keep three quarterbacks.
What if they keep two? Who do you think if they keep two, then
maybe Blough's on the fringe.
See, that's where I'm not sure. I'm not sure where these guys go yet. I think between Boyle and Blau, there's a good debate between which one is more valuable and which one kind of goes where. And yes, quarterback two is a role, but for me, it's not like a impactful role. It's just a, something went wrong.
It's an an emergency role.
Right. Yeah. For now, I say we just keep one on the 53, put the other one on the fringe. And you think we should keep which one, Boyle or Blau? I don't care.
Oh, Boyle.
Okay. So Boyle will be on the 53. We can put Blau on the fringe. If we decide as we're getting closer to 53, we want to keep it that third, or we figure we have room, we can always move them back. All right. So easy enough. So do you want to do the specialist since we added Jack Fox?
Yeah. So I guess you would say Riley Patterson. Would he just be a projected starter at this point? Has he proved that he's a core player?
Well, that's the key. Do you think Patterson's going to beat out Seibert?
I think so. I like Patterson. I think he's going to develop. If I had to pick one, I would guess it would be Patterson.
All right. And I agree with that. So that would put Patterson on the projected starters list. And then that would put
Seibert on the fringe.
Yep. Yeah, because he's still got a chance where he could win it. So I wouldn't want to drop him in the work to do, but he'd be on there. And then that Scott Daly is the only long snapper. That puts Scott also
as a projected starter.
Exactly. Yep. All right. So we've done the offensive line, the specialist, and the quarterback. We can just go positionally. I think that.
Since we're already, because I'm like, well, do we want to throw a defensive player out there? But
I think we just go. I like how we've kind of fell into the rhythm of the position. So the next, let's just do running back.
Well, DeAndre Swift is how many years does he have left on his contract? 2 years?
DeAndre Swift has 2 years left on his contract.
Oh, does that drop him into a core player? I would say he's an impact player because the Lions change what they do when he's not playing.
I agree with you. And even though he might only play two more years, I think they'd have to change enough of the scheme with him out that you can qualify him as an impact player.
And we all kind of hope that he is an impact player, right? You know, because when he's healthy, he shows flashes. He's just not healthy all the time.
Absolutely.
And if he was a healthy guy, it's a guy like, well, yeah, they'd love to keep this guy around because he's valuable, because he can, you know, like he's dynamic in both the passing game and the running game.
Absolutely. Now, I don't think they necessarily are going to keep like 1A and 1B starter. So like technically Jamal Williams had more starts last year than Swift, but Swift played like 70% of the snaps and Williams only played like 30. You know what I mean? Like technically they started Williams, but Swift was really the guy who saw the bulk of the snaps. So I don't think we need to necessarily put Williams in a projected starter. He fits more into like a role player type of thing because he's in the final year of his contract. Now he's still a good player and he's still someone that has that value. So I wouldn't put him down in that 53, but I think he's definitely like someone that they like, someone that has a specific job. Jason Kabinda, I would put in this category as well.
He more serves a role. Like if they throw a fullback out there on the first play of the game, yes, he would be a starter, but he's used in only certain packages. And, you know, he's not a final depth piece. They use him a lot and they use him on special teams. So I would say he's a role player.
All right. Next.
Those next three running backs.
Yeah.
Will they keep all five? That's a good question.
I don't think they will.
Their final depth on the 53. And maybe Craig Reynolds is on the fringe. And Igwebukwe and Jamar Jefferson are both final depth on the 53 because I think they want to give these young guys, although Craig Reynolds is a young guy too. They want to give him an opportunity to make more of an opportunity to make the roster.
Well, let me try this. Do you see Godwin Igwebukwe as maintaining his kick return job?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. If that's the case, he's probably going to make the 53, which means he's probably going to be a role player. In my mind, which means now you get one other running back, Craig Reynolds or Jamar Jefferson. I don't think we can say anything on Bell because we don't know enough about him. But who do you like better, Reynolds or Jefferson?
I like Reynolds better, but I would feel the organization would rather see Jefferson succeed, although he was only a seventh round draft pick. You know, seventh rounders don't make teams all the time.
So I'm with you. I think we can probably put Reynolds ahead of Jefferson. So we'll put Jefferson on the fringe and we'll put Reynolds on the final, in that final 53. So saying that, you know, those spots could flop essentially. And then I think Greg Bell finally would go into the work to do, just because we don't know enough about him, right? So that kind of puts him, that kind of rounds out our running back group. I don't think, you know, we've seen Greg Bell in college, but we don't necessarily know exactly where he goes. All right. So we can shift. Do you want to do tight end or receiver next?
Well, we'll do the receiver group. That's usually the order in which we go in. We'll start with what will be projected to be number one receiver, DJ Chark, who has only a one-year contract, kind of a prove-it deal.
Yeah.
What do they see him? I would say he's just a projected starter at this point because, you know, what if he isn't great? You know, like the hope, once again, our hope is he has an excellent season and he's a guy they're going to re-sign long-term and a guy who's going to want to stick around long-term.
Mm-hmm.
I say at this point, he's just a projected starter.
Yeah, I think that's just the way it is right now. That 1 year contract does limit him for sure. What about Amon-Ra?
Well, he's an impact player.
I think so too.
And one can argue like he had such. If the Lions end up being very good this year, which I really don't believe that, but if they do, right, if everything goes well and they do make a big enough of a jump, which I do admit is there's an outside possibility of that, Amon-Ra St. Brown would kind of turn into a core player than an impact player because they're getting a lot of contribution out of DJ Chark and out of Hockenson and out of Jameson Williams would be, you know, eventually show up. My guess is if he's not playing within like the first six games, we're not going to get much out of him this season because he's going to, just like Amon-Ra St. Brown last year, have the season to acclimate themselves to the NFL before they really can start turning it on near the end. But I'm going to say right now, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's an impact player.
I agree with that. Do you think Jameson Williams will be an impact player when he hits the field? Or do you think he's just part of the core right now?
I would say, yeah. Now there's an interesting discussion, right? Because we want him to be an impact player. The position they drafted him in the draft is an impact player. The season, though, I don't think he's not. Well, he could. You know, he could end up, you know, like doing something at the very end. But I don't know. I would see him more as a core player. They're just trying to get him healthy now and try to get him to learn the offense.
I'm with you there. I do think he's part of the long-term plans. He's had the potential to be an impact player, but we're just not there with it yet. We've basically put one wide receiver in each of the top three categories. After that, I think we could probably argue about Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond being between role players and final depth. For me, Reynolds is probably a projected starter, to be honest. Actually,
oh really?
Him there, yeah, because with Williams out, right? I think Reynolds is going to be the starter. So you'll have St. Brown, Chark, and Reynolds to start the year.
I was thinking more Josh Reynolds, more of a role player, just as
a
Goff security blanket. Like he has a specific role.
Sure, and you could argue that he won't be the starter when Jameson returns too. So I could be talked into either way, either a projected starter or like a role player.
Well, let's put him in the projected starters because you're right. Like,
all right.
That's where Williams is likely not going to be ready in week one. So
Khalif has a contract where it costs more to cut him than it does to keep him. And so Khalif Raymond
is a role player.
And I agree. And I think as a punt, it's his punt returner skills that kind of solidify him in that group. I think they're going to keep six wide receivers. I don't know if that includes Jameson or if he's going to end up on the pup, but so we're going to get at least one more receiver in this group. Do you think it's like Cephas or do you think it's like Trinity Benson?
The most positive press I'm reading from folks like you is on Cephas. Everybody seems to love Cephas. I would put him on the final depth on 53. Whereas I'd have a Trinity Benson on the fringe, arguably with work to do.
I think he's on the fringe if Jameson is ready. But if Jameson's not ready, I think he makes the team. He could be their gunner. He could be their sixth, you know, guy. He could maybe challenge for a return role if he, you know, if he shows some a little bit of electricity there. They love his speed, and so I think he's a little bit closer. I think he's closer to the roster this year than where he was last year when he barely played at all.
Now we got four more wide receivers.
Yeah, so Tom Kennedy.
He's an on the fringe. We're going to see Tom Kennedy at some point during the regular season. He's an on the fringe guy. Because what work does he have to do? Everybody already knows. We've all seen Tom Kennedy a million times.
Okay.
You know, we hope, once again, if the team gets real good, like Tom Kennedy's going to be a guy who's not around. But I think we all know who Tom Kennedy is, and there's going to be injuries, and we'll end up seeing Tom Kennedy.
I think the closest guy to beat him is Khalil Pimpleton.
That's your guy. That's one of your guys. I put him on the fringe, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think because one of those guys could knock the other one off, right? And then the final two guys, Corey Sutton and Josh Johnson.
Our work to do type guys.
Yeah, they're not quite there. So I think they're going to need to prove some more in camp. And then we'll see where you know, where they go. But I do think Pimpleton is good enough right now to be on the fringe, because it's potential he could win a punt return job as well. Right. And so that gets him, I think, closer to the roster. All right. We're on the tight ends now. Let's see. Hockenson, right. Let's just start right at the top. Hockenson is going to fall in one of the top two categories.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Well, you could argue he's just a projected starter if my conspiracy theory is true.
That's true.
Because, you know, Campbell does not go on about how much he loves TJ Hockenson, even though he was a tight end. You never hear it out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But I will say, if TJ Hockenson goes down, and like we saw last year, like the offense is greatly impacted by losing him. They change what they do. So that would lead you to think he's an impact player, although he's in the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And
technically 2 years, right? Well, because they gave him the fifth year.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I agree. I think he needs to be in the impact category because they got him for two more years. They've said they're trying to re-sign him, and like you said, it's a big downgrade after him. Next in line is probably Brock Wright.
He's a role player because he's the other tight end
probably, right?
I won't say the blocking tight end, he's the other tight end,
right? Yeah, I don't think you need to put him in the we don't need to be making two tight end starters right now. I think a role player is definitely in the mix. And then for me, James Mitchell is the guy they drafted, so he's got to be considered there too.
They're going to give him the most opportunity.
Now the question becomes, is James Mitchell a role player who could potentially get cut, or is he a guy that they consider part of the core that they're trying to build around?
Oh, wow. I was going to say he was final depth. Could cut him. I can see them cutting him.
Yeah, I could too, which means, yes, he should be, yeah. I agree. So if he's has that potential to be cut, he's not a core player. Yes, it would be between a role player or a final 53 in my mind as well. I think we go either way. I'm going to put him in the final 53 because it's possible that he just doesn't step up, or maybe he's not recovered from his ACL. And so, I think he's a little bit more vulnerable. Now,
wait. Interestingly, we put him in that final dip, and you made a good point there. You mentioned his ACL injury, and that's probably really affecting our decision. But you know, he's a fourth round pick. Last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth round pick.
Yeah,
and this is hindsight 2020. But we would have definitely put St. Brown in the core player category last year, because that was their big wide receiver move. It's like, well, obviously this guy's going to be a core player for the team. Yeah. And it took, 8 weeks before he really started to come on. But it's interesting how from one fourth round pick to another, how James Mitchell, we got him. He's at the end of the roster.
No, I agree. I forgot. Technically, he's a fifth.
He's a fifth.
But still, your point still stands.
It doesn't. Now it gets a little flimsy.
Well, no, but the idea behind it, I think, is still there, because I do think he is a guy that they're trying to make part of the core team, but we just haven't seen it. And until we see it, you know, I think any day three guy is going to be, you know, kind of vulnerable like that. So, yeah, I think final 53 is probably an appropriate spot for him. Now
the rest of these guys, what a soup. You know, Garrett Griffin's on the fringe. Shane Zylstra on the fringe. Well, probably because we saw Zylstra last year. And Derek Dietz Jr., his dad played in the NFL. So maybe, I don't know. I would say he's a guy who's got work to do. Nolan Givens, a guy who's got work to do. And
yeah.
Devin Funchess, I don't know. What do you put him as on the fringe? He's the wild card in this group.
He is.
Or you could look at him as a wild card. You could see him as a guy like from last season, the last couple seasons.
Like Darren Fells?
Is that not Darren Fells. Don't think tight end, think wide receiver. The veteran that they brought in that really never did.
Tyrell Williams
was there. Yeah, Tyrell Williams. There's another guy I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But go ahead. But it's that same type of thing. Like Funchess, we saw him at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of promise. Went to Carolina, had a good rookie year, right? Was it rookie year or second year? I think it was rookie year. And, you know, so I think we hold him in higher regard.
Absolutely.
Where this, for him now, this is the end of the road.
He hasn't played a game since 2019. You're switching him from wide receiver to tight end. I think a lot of people are going to want us to put him on the fringe or maybe even on the final 53. But in my mind, he has work to do. He really does. Like, I don't think anything's going to be guaranteed. They had all these other guys in camp before they brought him into camp. And, he's had one practice. I think one practice isn't going to, you got to do more than that. And so I'm absolutely comfortable putting him in the work to do and leaving Griffin and Zylstra as guys that I think are closer to the fringe, being on the fringe as opposed to him. And I'm sure people will be mad, and I understand that.
Well, because they have an affinity for Devin Funchess, so they want to see. We would too. Yeah, would be interesting, and we know he can perform in the NFL. Yeah. So, it really looks like, well, this is his last shot. They're giving him one last shot.
Yeah, and if he comes ready, he could move up this chart really fast.
That's it. We go to the offensive line. We got to finish off the offensive line. We started strong with the offense.
So we had we picked out the seven guys we thought were easy to place. And in my opinion, they're only going to keep eight to start the year, which means there's only one spot left. And it's probably going to be a reserve guard because you have your backup center, you have your backup tackle, you need a backup guard. The most common sense battle would be between Tommy Kramer, who started a couple games last year, and Logan Stenberg, who was the draft pick who had all this
draft darling.
Yeah. And didn't do a whole lot. Talking about another fourth round pick right there. Right. So for me, while Kramer has been, is the more proven guy, even though he's only played 1 year. He's done more in his 1 year than Stenberg did in either of his combined. So I think Kramer is going to be ahead of Stenberg for me right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Things could change, but I'm going to put.
And he's a role player.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think you need to put him in role player. I think you can put him in final 53 because it's possible he could lose that job. Right. So for me, I think guards are a little bit more easily replaceable. And because I think Kramer's on that, he's just one, you know, it just takes a little bit for him to get replaced. Like, for example, the gap between Evan Brown and Ryan McCollum is massive. Oh, between center two and center three is massive to me. The gap between Kramer and Stenberg, I don't think is that big. So Kramer would end up on my final 53, whereas Stenberg would be like an on the fringe guy who could easily replace Kramer. So speaking of McCollum, I am not as high on McCollum. I'm going to drop him right into work to do.
Oh, wow. Because I would have put him on the free because he's been around for a couple of years.
He has. I just don't like I don't like his game. He was, remember, he was benched in week 18 last year, and they shifted Jonah Jackson over to center in order to finish out the game. Now maybe McCollum got hurt, but he wasn't announced as being hurt. He was a starter, and then he was benched. And I don't see him being a guy who is going to crack the lineup. I don't know if he can play guard. Hasn't shown me that he can play guard, and he's not beating Evan Brown. So for me, if you're center three on this, on a team that's not only keeping two, you're on the outside. So Dan Skipper,
he's on the fringe. We're going to see him. He's on the fringe.
Okay. There's a nice debate between is Dan Skipper and Obina Ezay, who's the UDFA guy out of TCU. He's got those monster arms. Mm-hmm. He's really strong, right? He's a guy with upside that I think will challenge Dan Skipper eventually. But he's got to show me a little bit more. Like, I could be talked into putting him on the fringe, but when I think they're only going to keep three offensive tackles, I do think Obi is probably in the work to do category. Even though I think he's a guy that they want to build into something long-term and, will probably be on the practice squad this year. I just don't know if he's ready to compete for a roster spot just yet. Same goes with the other UDFA offensive lineman.
Kevin Jarvis is a work to do. I'm very surprised that he's getting a shot in NFL camp.
And he got a lot of money too. So, and then
Zion Obeid, who's a local guy, right? And one of those, he seems more of a developmental type prospect. Exactly. Strong guy. He hasn't played a ton of football, and they want to see what he's got.
But I think, he's in that work to do category for sure. All right, so we're through the offense. And so we can start you want to start in the middle or on the edge?
We can start in the middle. We can start with nose tackle Lee McNeil, who would be an impact player. These guys are talking about him like crazy here in the offseason. How much they like him and how much they expect out of him this year. And they need to see more improvement out of him. And interestingly, if he's hurt,
they don't have another
it
one.
Will change. Yeah, they don't have another one. It will impact what they do defensively and even might push them towards going back to, like a 3-4 setup instead of a 4-3.
Yeah, you'd see a lot more three technique work, right? If McNeil's not around. I think he's definitely an impact. I think no Pennicini definitely solidifies him up at the top there. Now Levi, the other day two draft pick from a year ago, I think Levi would be a core player for me.
Yeah, I would agree. They because they're high on him too. They're just kind of and they're not even upset with him. He's got work to do, although he doesn't fit in the work to do category, but he has to get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing. He goes into the core player category, but he's not going to start over Michael Brockers, who is going to start, right? But Michael Brockers slots in the category below him in the projected starters category because he's not signed long-term. It's possible he could get bumped by Levi if Levi plays well. And so even though Brockers is technically ahead of Levi on the depth chart, this is what makes the stack unique is that Levi still kind of ranks ahead because he's part of the long-term plans, which is really the focus of this. So then after those interior guys, I'd say Jayshon Cornell is your next DT4. Now the question becomes, is he a role player or is he in the final 53 where he could possibly lose that job to somebody else?
I don't know. It seems like the brass is high on Jayshon Cornell.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Is the fourth defensive tackle, right? So I don't know. That would put him more at the final depth.
They really like Bruce Hector too, even though I don't think Bruce Hector's in the
Bruce
mix
Hector's
right
an on the fringe type of guy.
Yep, that's exactly where I wanted to place him on the fringe. And then
Eric Banks and Demetrius Taylor, or Demetrius Taylor, they'd find themselves with work to do.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I got to find Taylor. Here we go. All right, so Taylor is here in the work to do. All our UDFA guys are in the work to do category. Now, this is common because when I did this about a year ago for my own like kind of personal thing, I don't think I actually published it. I don't remember. But I believe when I did this a year ago, I had like a guy like Jerry Jacobs in the work to do category. You know what I mean? Because I had only seen a little bit of him in the spring, and it looked like he was further down on the depth chart, and it took all of training camp, but you could see him kind of slowly work his way up through these tiers before he eventually made that final 53. So just because it's not uncommon to keep the UDFA guys in this last category, I guess is what I'm trying to illustrate here.
All right. Now we move to the outside.
Yeah.
Do we start with the number two overall pick in the NFL draft?
Yeah, Aiden.
Well, Aiden Hutchinson, I know you're going to want to put, it's not going to, if something happened to Aiden Hutchinson, it's not going to impact the team's overall performance. At this point, he's just a core player.
You think so?
Although, I mean, you have to expect at the same time, he's the future of the franchise, mm-hmm. right? He's the face of the defense mm-hmm. already.
Yep.
But to me, I don't, at the same time, like how much of an impact is he going to have this year? You know, they're already talking. We're already talking that he needs to get stronger. Like, well, we see that he's stronger. So, okay. So he's going to beat some guys for sacks because he's faster than them. And that's going to be that. Are we going to see, like you said, 8 sacks would be great. You
know, I think there's work ethic, there's positional versatility, there's a whole bunch of other factors that are going to go in. And I also think he's going to draw double teams, which is going to help other people. So in my opinion, if he's not in the lineup and you're still missing Romeo, it's a pretty significant downgrade where they are going to have to kind of change their approach. He pushes inside on to the three technique on obvious pass rushing downs. You're not going to be able to do that with a guy like Julian Aquara, who would probably be his replacement. Right. Mm-hmm. So for me, the way they're utilizing him already, the way he's expected to, you know, impact those around him, I think is already puts him in that top category for me. I just think he's going to be able to impact people around how the other players around him function. Those should all go up. And I don't think you get that with his replacement, whoever that replacement happens to be.
All right, so let's talk about – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so that's why I like him at the top, personally.
So does that also push Romeo Aquara also in that impact player category? He's a guy with a long-term contract. Mm-hmm. You know, like they did struggle last year without him. When it came to generating a pass rush, they had to find a lot of different ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they had, you know, like Charles Harris, stepped up.
Yep.
You know, but he didn't step by, he couldn't provide what Romeo provided, but mm-hmm. you could argue that he's also a core player.
I think core player makes sense, right?
Because we don't know because if he's going to be Yeah. Is he going to turn into more of a core player and not an impact player? Because he wasn't it 2 years ago. He's an impact player.
I agree. But I think it's the same Jameson Williams argument, right? Is that we don't know when we're going to see him. And because we don't know when we're going to see him, it's hard to justify saying he's going to make an impact or he's going to be an impact guy. But I agree with you. I do think he's part of the core that they want to build. Charles Harris got a 2-year contract. Is that enough for you to think he's a core player, or is he just a projected starter?
Oh, so you even have him as a projected starter. Cause I was going to say he's a role player. Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets tricky, right?
2-year contract, but they drafted Hutchinson number mm-hmm. 2 overall. Cause I would see is Harris. Yeah. I guess he would be a projected starter. Although I'd see more as Josh Pascal is going to be a core player.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I would have Charles. So you put Charles Harris. He's going to start. You will see him a lot. He could be a projected starter, but I would think more as a pass rush specialist. Like he's just going to be a role player.
Well, because of Romeo's injury, I think he's a projected starter, right? It's the same thing with that we did with the Jameson and Josh Reynolds. We put Jameson in the core, and then we put Josh Reynolds as a projected starter because he's going to start the season. I think the same thing is true in this situation where Charles is going to start the season. And honestly, he's been playing well. So we'll see. Maybe he might actually develop into more of a core player if he has another year like he had last year. So I like him in the projected starter category. You mentioned Josh Pascal being a core player. I'm with you on that, yep, too. I think even though he's injured, we're not sure we expect him to be back, but he's a guy that they're planning to build around and they're planning to rotate the scheme. So those four guys all go up in the top. And I think that's not something you've seen from this Lions organization in the past, half decade. Since they've invested this much type of capital on the edge to try and generate some pass rush.
Ziggy Ansah.
Ziggy, yeah, right. Yeah. I know.
And Cliff Avril.
Well, yeah, that's going back a decade.
I know, but I went further back with Vandenbosch, and I wanted to be like, well, there's guys since then.
Now, beyond those four, it starts getting a little bit tricky. Let's not go to the hybrid edge guys yet. Let's just finish off where we're at. Like Austin Bryant, I don't know if he even makes this team, to be honest.
That's interesting.
Because I don't know if he makes the team, I'm going to suggest we put him on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have 53 guys in our top five tiers, we might consider moving him up. I think we could do the same thing here with John Kaminsky. I think he is on the fringe because he has some positional versatility. He may even be in the work to do category, but for me, I think I'm going to leave him. I think we can leave him on the fringe for now. All right. So that takes us to our hybrids. Now these are your role players, right? If they're going to make the roster. So the question is how many of them make the roster? First one's Julian Aquara. I think he's going to make the roster. I think he is probably a role player is where he would fit. He's a guy who's going to have a specific job. But we don't know for sure that he's a guy that they're planning to build around. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could argue the same thing with Houston, right? You don't quite know what you're getting out of James Houston here. Are you getting a guy? I mean, you want to say he's a core player, but again, he's a day three pick. So it's hard to make him a core player.
I was going to say, if we still have the protected practice squad, I figured he would be like a protected practice squad guy all year.
I think he's either in the final 53 or he's on the fringe, right? Okay. I think he's in one of those two. And we could, it really depends. Like right now you have five edge rushers. If you need a sixth, he might be your guy. Mm-hmm. Or let me phrase this a different way. I'm going to put him in the on the fringe for right now. And then I'm going to bring up another hybrid guy that I think actually has a better chance of making the roster than him. And that's Jared Davis. They're going to use him in a similar way as Houston, but I think he's more ready to play now than Houston. And so I actually think Jared Davis would be in the 53 and kind of placeholding a spot for James Houston if James Houston shows us more during camp. I don't know how you feel about keeping Jared Davis or not.
No, they're going to keep. They signed him to keep him. You know, right. We're not Jared Davis fans, but he's here. They're gonna find a way. They brought him in for a reason. Mm-hmm. I don't think they brought him in just to compete.
So I think we leave Jared Davis in the final depth tier, and then we keep James Houston on the fringe. And again, we may have to move one of these guys up anyway. So maybe Houston gets moved up later. The only other hybrid guy is Natrez Patrick.
Work to do.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's an easy decision there. Now, true off the ball linebacker guys, your clear starter right now is Alex Anzalone.
Yep. but projected starter.
He's not an impact player. He's not even not a core player.
Nope.
I think he is a projected starter, and he might even be a little bit more vulnerable, but he's going to start. If he's on the roster, he's going to start. That's pretty easy where he goes. Now,
Chris Board, is he a role player?
Well, that's the thing is, do you think Derek Barnes or Chris Board will start next to Anzalone?
It seems that Chris Board's going to start.
I agree. And so I think he probably would, we'd like him to be a role player, but in my mind, he's probably a projected starter right now, which means Derek Barnes kind of fits into
a role player
or is he a core player?
I don't know. At this point, he's still a role player. I don't know if he shows a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's a core guy. Like this kind of he's on the fringe here.
I think he's on that edge, right? He's on that edge between being a core player or being a role player, or maybe even being a starter. Like, I think it's a little bit unknown where he fits, but for now, I think he's a role player for right now, with the hopes of developing into something more. Now, that's three off the ball linebackers. I think they're going to keep at least four. And that fourth one's probably Malcolm Rodriguez.
I was going to say that, like, everybody loves Malcolm Rodriguez. We'll see.
Yeah, they drafted him for a reason. But again,
might as well put him as a core player, Eric.
Well, that's the thing is, can you put we haven't been putting day three guys as core players.
So I don't think he should be, but everybody's so high on the guy.
I know. It's amazing. I'm going to slot him in as a role player, meaning I think he's going to make the roster. I don't think he's on I don't think he's in that final depth section. I don't think he's quite in that core player section. He's not a starter. So I think role player is really kind of where he fits in right now. Now, after that, I don't know if they're going to keep another, especially if they keep Jared Davis, who can also play off the ball, and he can be that kind of true hybrid. So I think the rest of the remaining off the ball guys are going to either fit into the on the fringe or in the work to do category.
I figured they seem to be guys that this regime likes. I don't know. I'd put them all on the fringe.
I'm kind of with you because they all have some special teams prowess, like Sean right. Dion Hamilton.
That's why I'm surprised. They liked. Yeah.
Anthony Pittman played the most special team snaps of any Lion last year, like by a lot. Like I had like 100 more snaps than the next guy. And he could actually be a sleeper to kind of sneak in to that roster, that last roster spot as well, in my opinion. So, all right. So that's your linebackers. Let's do the corners first. You want to start at the high profile name or you want to do the easy one? Easy one is Amani.
I mean, the easy one's Amani or Warrior. Yeah, he's an impact player. Or do you have him as just a starter?
Well, that's the question. It's not as easy as I thought.
Is he in his last year?
He is in the final year of his contract. They have talked about working to get a contract extension. But the fact that he doesn't have a contract extension now kind of makes him a projected starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I hate to say because he could
playing with fire with this one.
Yeah. If he had that contract, you could talk me into moving him up. And it's a shame because he might be your best corner on the field right now.
He might, and he might. He's not bad. He's
in the
upper echelon of NFL corners, and he still has room to get better.
Yeah,
and he still has time to get better too.
Exactly.
He's not over the hill.
But they might lose him, and if they,
I know, and that's
what makes
lose Slay and because like you could have had Darius Slay and Amani Oruwari. It could be your two corners right now,
right?
And they would be in very good position compared to a lot of other teams in the NFL. But, you know, Matt Patricia had to hate him. And here we are in this position.
All right. So Jeff Okuda.
Yes. I cannot say he's an impact player because he hasn't played.
Right. That's right.
They need him to be a core guy because they potentially have him for three more years.
Right. And so, I think they want him to be a core guy. I don't think he's in any vulnerable spot where he's
unless he's not healthy.
Right.
Unless his career is over because his health just isn't there.
Right. And based on what I've kind of seen in camp and what he's been, showing in his workout videos, I don't think that's something even being considered right now. So yeah, I think he's either going to be a projected starter or a core player. I think that extra years on this contract, the kind of faith they have in him, I think he's more of a core player to me. And then depending on what happens, he could either go up or down. Right. But I do think he's a guy that they want to build around. They talk about him very highly. So I'm going to put him as a core. I'm confident he will be back and playing well. If he's not ready to play well, Will Harris might be the starting outside corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he gets a little bit tricky because I think Jeff Okuda is going to start, which means Will Harris isn't, which means Will Harris is either a role player or a guy in the final 53.
He's not a starter at nickel.
I don't think he is. Right. I don't think they would start him in nickel.
Well, I don't think he's final depth. I think he's a role player.
I do. I agree with that. And I think they want to use him more situationally as well. Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that think he should be in the final 53, or some people that think he should be in the work to do category.
Right. But
the coaches like him. That's
the big one.
And he can do a lot of different things. So role player for me works fine. Now Mike Hughes is the veteran corner that they signed. And so he
he could be anywhere. He could be on the fringe. This is a guy they could cut.
Well, for me, I'm going to put him in the, I'd either put him in the role or the final depth. I think he's going to make the team because he has some flexibility. He could even potentially win the starting job. I don't see it yet, but I'm going to put him in a role player as well as like the fourth corner mm-hmm. with some flexibility. I feel pretty confident he's going to be on that roster. Now, Ife Melifonwu, I think, is in that kind of same category. Not exactly sure where he is. I think he's not going to be a starter. So is he a role player or is he a core player? Drafted him in the top 100 picks a year ago. I think you could argue he's a guy that they have long-term plans for.
Well, yeah, I would agree with there. He's not there yet, but like he would be in the core.
Right. So AJ Parker is the starting nickel. Do you think he stays that starter?
Yeah, as of right now, yeah. With how everything's was shaken out. You know, when you talked about Melifonwu, you probably should just put Kirby Joseph in that group too, because it once again a top 100 pick.
Yeah.
He's a guy that they're gonna want to build into being a starter. Right. Or do you have something special to say about
it? No, I didn't bring him up because we weren't at the safeties. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm going to do it anyways, though. I mean, like, that's where he goes, right? Yep. Absolutely. All right. So the rest of the corners, Bobby Price, he was a starting gunner, but I don't think he's guaranteed a roster spot. So I think he probably ends up on the fringe.
On the fringe? Okay, I'll put him on the fringe. That would have been fine with final 53.
I think Jerry Jacobs is going to be in the final 53.
Yeah, we're all rooting for him.
Yeah. I think you could argue he's a role player. But you already have four corners. So, but again, I'm not.
You need more than four.
I'd be fine moving them up to role player too. It's not going to bother me.
At this point, final depth because of his situation where he's at.
Right, exactly. Now. He's injured and everything, right? Okay. So, Mark Gilbert.
On the fringe.
Yeah, on the fringe for me. Actually, he might even be work to do. I'm going to put him in work to do. And the same thing with Cedric Boswell, the UDFA. I think he can be in work to do as well.
Chase Lucas, though, a drafted guy. He's an on-the-fringe guy. I don't necessarily see him making the team.
I do. I think
he's going to make
the team.
Well, then put him on the team.
I like him quite a bit. So I want to see him in that final 53 for me. Savion Smith. He's another kind of hybrid guy. For me, I think he's more on the fringe, though.
Put him on the fringe.
All right. So we got, four more safeties? Because we dropped Kirby into that role, in that core player. So the starters are Tracy and Deshaun Elliott. So
we're at 50. We have three open roster spots left.
Okay.
obviously Tracy Walker's on the roster. Right. You want to put him as an impact player. I see him more as a core player.
That's fine. I'm going to, you know, they're focused on him. He's part of their team. Like, he's the guy that they want to be, you know. It's, you know, you still listen to Campbell saying it's your team now. Right. But we can put him as a core player and it's not going to bother me. DeShone Elliott for me is a starter, and that's where he fits. Yeah. He's only on a 1-year contract. And then of the remaining three guys, we have a spot for one more.
Yeah, it'd be CJ Moore.
I think it would be CJ Moore as well. CJ is a role player because of his special teams. I don't think the other safeties are in a spot where they can knock him off. So Brady Breeze, I'm going to say he's on the fringe, whereas Juju is a guy who's in the work to do category. So
it's not exactly a bell curve. You need more categories than the not making the 53-man roster to build a nice bell curve. But we're beefy in the projected starters and role players range, and pretty even in the impact players, core players, and then when you go down to the final depth. That's about right. Interesting to note for, you know, the people who can't see this list is that of the impact players, only two defenders, Aleem McNeil and Aiden Hutchinson, which, you know, reflects the state of this team's defense. You know, it's obviously the weaker of the two, of the units, even including special teams, even the weakest of the three units.
But then when you look at core, there's two offensive core guys. Yeah. And seven defensive core players.
And so, a lot of those guys are young.
And they're hoping, hoping to see more out of them. Some of those guys can take a step forward. Tracy Walker could be a guy who takes a step forward. Okuda could be a guy who takes a step forward, right? But right now, I mean, you only have, eight, nine type of, you know, impact players. And that's probably better than they were. I mean, that's better than they were a year ago.
Better than they were a year ago. Better than they were in the last year at Patricia.
And that's really what you're trying – that's really the value in a tool like this, is that you're trying to see, you know, who are you making progress as a team? And if you are, you're increasing the impact player group, you're increasing the core player group, and you should have, ideally, you'd probably want half your guys in those top two tiers. I mean, that would be ideal, but I mean, I don't know if that's realistic either based on because of the salary cap and whatnot, but yeah, you got a lot of talent in there. I think what I'm going to do is, I think I'll embed a picture of this list into our draft Detroit Lions breakdown website.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. DetroitLionsBreakdown.com. I'll put this in the podcast, article, but I will put a little spoiler alert and then, you know, put it below the spoiler. So hopefully you can listen to us on how we put it together, or you can just stare at the list and you know, look at how we came up with what we did. But yeah. All right. So I think we'll probably have another podcast before training camp, hopefully, and we'll be able to preview training camp. That's really the exercise I wanted to get done today. And I'm pretty happy with how we did there.
This was good. We'll have to do this again sometime.
All right. That's it. I don't think we got any more reviews. I thought we addressed it.
No, we're at 416. I just saw 415 the other day. So yeah. We've added some more reviews. That's just on the Apple Podcast. I did not check Spotify where we're at. So we're doing great. Thank you, everybody, for reviewing us, you know, and keep it up. Keep up the good work and just keep listening, you know, and it's the slow point of our year. We've taken our summer vacation, it seems. But we'll be cranking back up by the time the season rolls around. Definitely training camp. So.
Yep. All right. That's it.
Yeah, that's all we got. That's all we got for this week. So until next time, let's go Lions.